Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. With all that is happening in the world today, it is easy to forget that God is sovereign and that the Lord is most high forevermore. Sin has corrupted our world, but our merciful sovereign God is long-suffering. Nevertheless, one day he will punish all the workers of iniquity, and he will exalt those that have repented and trusted in Jesus for their salvation. Please open your Bible to Psalm 92, verse 5, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola concludes his study of this chapter.
Look at verse 5. I mean, the psalmist is having a praise overload here. And isn't that what happens when you start talking about the Lord? Isn't that what happens? You just get on this roll. You just get on this roll. It's so contagious when you talk about the things of the Lord. It is so uplifting. It's needed. There's never been a time when it hasn't been needed. But if there is a time when it is needed for the church, it is now. To just think about the things of the Lord. Look at verse 5. O Lord, how great are your works, and your thoughts are very deep, profound. The psalmist, he's praising God. He's thanking God. He's worshiping God. He says, your works are great. Do you ever just stand outside and say, wow. Wow. We love watching Planet Earth. It's a BBC documentary. We love it. It's great until the narrator says, now, 59 billion years ago, and then we just, check out. But they have all of these videos of sea creatures or all of these. It's just, wow, I can't even, wow, it's just awesome. And our God did that. Our God did that. Great are your works, O Lord. Your thoughts are great. In the book of Revelation, chapter 15, verse 3, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, listen what is being sung. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, O King of Saints. Isn't that beautiful? What a thing for us to be singing tonight. Singing the song of Moses, of the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of Saints. How about the thoughts of God? They're profound. I love Romans 11, verses 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompense unto him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Indeed, his thoughts are profound. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. But we see in Psalm 40, verse 5, listen to this. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which you have done, and thy thoughts which are toward us. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. How God is always thinking of you. It says in another psalm that his thoughts towards us are like the grains of sand. And I can assure you that he's not thinking of you like you think of you. He's not thinking of you like your enemies think of you. His thoughts towards you are of peace. He thinks of you as his son's precious bride. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done. You know, when you think of the character of God, when you think of the works of God, when you think of the attributes of God, let me just ask you a question. I may have asked you this a couple of weeks ago. I certainly did when we did our Holy Spirit series. When you think of the character of God, what is the first attribute that you think of? Don't say it out loud. What's the first attribute you think of? It's tempting to not ask you what you think of. Is it love? Grace? Mercy? Peace? You see, this is why we need to renew our mind in worship. That's why we need that time in the evening. That's why we need a day in the week where we just take a break, step back, and just get refreshed and revigorated by the things of the Lord. His thoughts toward you. The Lord said through the prophet Jeremiah to his people these words, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." That's how the Lord thinks of you. Now, that's us. But look at the unsaved. A brutish man, I almost said a British man, a brutish man, a brutish man knoweth not. A brutish man, someone who is dull and unresponsive to God. Neither does a fool, that's someone that is self-confident, understand this. Now, the worship of God not only makes us rejoice, it also opens our minds and enables us to see things as they really are. You know, until you're born again, you and I are by nature brutish. You and I are by nature blind to spiritual truth. But when you are born again, when you are quickened by the Spirit of God, when you are regenerated by the Spirit of God, you see things you've never seen before. You hear things you've never heard before. Everything is new. Everything is new. You just can never see or hear the way you used to. One of the things that tripped up Asaph in Psalm 73 was when he saw the wicked prospering, the wicked being promoted, and seemingly the people of God having difficulties. Well, that thought comes up here in verse 7. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish. And it is true that the wicked and the unrighteous often do flourish. It is that they shall be destroyed forever. One commentator says this, "Grass that grows high means that it's about ready to be mowed down." And God's in the process of doing some mowing. Just like in Psalm 73, the unsaved, the ungodly, the wicked may flourish in the world, but they're completely oblivious to the fact that judgment day is coming. And the Apostle John tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in this world, because the things of this world are going to pass away. Our treasures need to be in heaven, not on earth. And Jesus said that whoever's name is not found in the Lamb's book of life will perish forever in hell, but he that doeth the will of God will abide forever. That's you and me. The best is yet to come. You realize that? The best is yet to come. Matthew Henry said this, quote, "All the impenitent workers of iniquity shall be deemed and taken as God's enemies, and as such they shall perish and be scattered. Christ reckons those his enemies that will not have him to reign over them, and they shall be brought forth and slain before him." And amazingly, when you read this in the book of Revelation, heaven says, "Just and true are you, O Lord, in all your ways." But you, O Lord, in contrast to the wicked, you are most high forevermore. In other words, Lord, you will be exalted forever. He reigns. He's reigning right now. There's never going to be a time when God is not reigning. He will be and is exalted forever and ever and ever. Right now, he rules and he reigns. Do you believe that? Not up here. I'm not asking you if you know the words. Do you believe it in all your heart with all of the things that are going on in our world right now? The Lord rules. The Lord reigns. The Lord is in absolute control of every single thing. There's not a bird that falls to the ground without him noticing it. He rules. He reigns. He is in absolute sovereign control over everything. What a peace there is to know that God rules and reigns. What a peace there is. But lo, your enemies, verse 9, O Lord, for lo, your enemies shall perish, all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shall you exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. The unicorn, or some translations have it, the wild ox, was known for its strength. And so here the psalmist says, unlike the wicked, Lord, you are going to put fresh strength in me. How many of you tonight say, Lord, I could use some fresh strength? Oh my. All you got to do is pull up to the JESUS gas station and out comes strength. That's it. And then he says, I shall be anointed with oil. To be anointed with oil speaks of being refreshed. It speaks of being filled up with the things of God. Psalm 23 verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I love that. He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. And beloved, we need to be more table conscious than enemy conscious. He prepares a table. And right in the presence of the enemies, right in the midst of all of the warfare that we go through, he prepares a table for us. He says, my head you anoint with oil. My thoughts, my imaginations, you anoint them. My cup runs over. Anointing with oil to be refreshed. Remember when Jesus went to the house of Simon the Pharisee. He didn't have very good hospitality. He says, my head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman did. God is the one who gives us strength and refreshment. Now, verse 11. Many see this as being messianic. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. Again, Matthew Henry says this. This perhaps is reference to Christ, to his victory over Satan, death, and hell, the destruction of those that persecuted and crucified him and opposed his gospel, and to the final ruin of the impenitent at the last days. Those that rise up against Christ will fall before him and be made his footstool. That is when ultimate justice is going to take place. Never look for perfect justice in an imperfect world. It's troublesome, but ultimate justice is going to take place. Now, look at verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He or she shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. It's you and me. God's desire is that you and I flourish. Not flounder. Flourish. In fact, you and I, listen carefully, you and I, even when we are physically or emotionally floundering, we can still be flourishing in the Lord. Because his strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. And all of our floundering is actually ways that God will use to cause us to draw closer to him. You know the psalm? Psalm 1? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Who is that? The person that is meditating in God's word day and night. always putting God's word into our heart and mind. Now, I don't know, everybody has their own little rhythms, their own little system. And I have 3x5 cards. I have 3x5 cards on my desk. I have 3x5 cards in my office. And when I'm at a stoplight, instead of looking at that stoplight or looking at whatever is next to me or behind me, I pull out one of those 3x5 cards. There's a scripture. And the flip side is the verse. And then I hear, in other words, wake up, dude. It's a wonderful thing. It's, for me, it's redeeming the time. Just always looking at ways that I can be thinking of the things of the Lord. Isaiah 61:3 calls those who call upon the name of the Lord trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I'm looking at a room full of trees of righteousness tonight. Look at you, just flourishing, right? Right? Help me out here. Really? Yeah, yeah. Flourishing. He wants you to flourish. And so while the wicked are like grass and flourished briefly before being destroyed, the righteous, you and I, flourish like the palm tree. Verse 13 and 14. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. The psalmist said in Psalm 84, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness forever. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And now, verse 14, they shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Fat and flourishing. But you know, it's funny about age. I would read the verses about old age, but now they really mean something. You know, they shall bring forth, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. God wants us to grow, even as we are growing older. I believe that he wants us, our passion for him, to increase the older that we get, not decrease. They shall be fat and flourishing. That means fresh and green. What the psalmist is talking about here is the kind of freshness that comes with just time. Just years of walking with the Lord. Years of spending time with him. That's what he's talking about. How he's walked you through all of the hills and all of the valleys. How he's been with you through all of the pain and all of the sorrow. And through it all, there's just a greater love and wonder for him. Some people, they get to a certain age, my age, and they retire. And there's even professional clergy that retire. Now, you may move into different things, but you never retire when God calls you into service. You know when you retire? When you go, and you go to glory. That's it. That's when you retire. When you finish your testimony, that's when you are done. And I'm thankful for many of you, older saints, that have been so faithful in walking with the Lord all these years. There's a richness. There's a wealth of experience and that you just can't get when you're 20 or 30 years old. Or, you know, it's just so beautiful. So, so beautiful. The Bible says, though our outward man perish, yeah, The inward man is renewed day by day. And so this outward tent is perishing. But this inward man is being renewed day by day. And I love the promise of Isaiah chapter 46, verse 4. And even to your old age, I am he. Even to your gray hair will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. What a wonderful promise it is for us older ones here tonight. And all of that is to show, look at verse 15. This will be our last verse for tonight. To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Everybody has a rock. Everybody has a rock. The question is not if you have one, what is your rock? Who is your rock? And I know we're emotional creatures and we get disappointed. And I spent a little bit of time over the last 24 hours talking to believers, and you would think that the world ended because of the election. Really? Now, you may be disappointed, but my rock doesn't live in the White House. My hope isn't in the White House. My rock and my hope is in the Lord who made heaven and earth. And his word is the same for you and I today and yesterday and forever. There is no unrighteousness in him. God never does anything that is unrighteous. He never does anything wrong. There is no darkness in him. He doesn't play games with your life. So don't play games with him. Wherever he may be poking or prodding as the great physician, don't kick. Just surrender. Let him have his way. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, he is the rock. His work is perfect. You know, his work in you right now tonight is perfect. God is working in you both to will and to do of what? His good pleasure. It may not always be what we like, but it's always for his good pleasure. You know, when we first went into the ministry, Bill Gallatin's wife had a little meeting with my beautiful Elizabeth, and she gave her one verse, Psalm 62, verse 5. Says, honey, my expectation is from him. Don't look for it from your husband. Don't look for it from the flock. Just look for it from the Lord. Our expectation is from him. Never give someone that place of expectation that belongs only to God, because we're going to let one another down. He is our rock. He is our rock. There is no unrighteousness in him. He's always working in us to bring us to a closer relationship with the Father. He is a rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, isn't it? Very good thing. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his
holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Have you ever felt God's tug on your heart to participate in a foreign mission but didn't know where to start? Pastor Ray would like to invite you to learn more about the work he is doing in India. IndiaConnection.org is a small but growing missionary organization that is made up of over 100 Christian fellowships spread across India. In the face of poverty and persecution, our pastors proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, people are hearing the good news and getting saved every day. Here in Rochester, India Connection gives everybody a chance to help equip and edify God's church in India. Our volunteers help build churches in villages that have never had one before, heal the sick on a medical missions trip, teach young men and women how to be effective teachers of the Word, and care for abandoned and at-risk children at the Girls' Home of Pune. A good place to start is to come to one of our meetings, the third Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship in East Rochester. Our next meeting is May 18th. Hope to see you there.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.